This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
If they are truly, repenting of what they did, what promise should they make Allah?
Yeah, or next year, if Allah gives us rizq again, we will never deprive the poor. Something like that, isn't it? Should be saying something along those lines. Let's see what they're going to say.
This video is a short snippet of our deeper look of Surah Al-Qalam, which is now available to watch on the newly improved Bayyinah TV. Learn about this surah and many others in the deeper look section of the app.
What I did is a mistake, but my mistake doesn't define me. I can acknowledge my mistake, I can address my mistake, and I can move on with my life. Now, there will be people in your life that will never let you move on. They want to define you by your mistake, or you're so messed up, before they get to define you by your mistake, you yourself shall define yourself as a mistake so that they never get to pinpoint anything in particular. Yeah, I know I messed up, I know I'm a loser, right? I'm a loser. Well, nobody's saying you're a loser. We're just saying you shouldn't have pushed the old lady down the stairs. Like that, there's a specific crime you committed for which you're in jail. You know? So this is what I'm referring to as negative narcissism. And when they say, we have always been wrongdoers, we've always been messed up. Wait, did Allah criticize what they were always? Was Allah pointing out that they were doing something evil always? In fact, if you read the ayat carefully, let's go read through the story carefully again. Let's see if we find something that you should criticize, right? Is aqsamu, when they took an oath, layasrimunnaha musbihin, that they shall cut the crop in the morning. Does that sound like a crime? Like if you only knew that part of the story, would you say, astaghfirullah, these people want to cut their crop in the morning? Kaise log hai ye? Like, would you say that? There's nothing condemnable yet. Wala yastathnoon could mean, and they made no exception, they were committed to doing that. You could read that not as they didn't say inshallah, that's one interpretation, but you don't have to read it that way. There are other interpretations possible, and one of them is they were very committed to that decision. Is that a crime to be committed to a decision? No, or is it? Wala yastathnoon. And then fatafa alayha ta'ifun min rabbika wa hum na'imun, when the storm came and destroyed their garden. That's, Allah doesn't tell us why. That's not a crime. That's what Allah did, right? And then فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِيمِ, then it became like cut, chopped down crop. Okay, that's what Allah did. That's nothing to do with them. Now the morning is فَتَنَادَوْ مُصْبِحِينَ, they woke each other up. Is that a crime? There's nothing to condemn yet. أَنِغْدُوا عَلَى حَرْثِكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَارِمِينَ, go hurry up and get to your crop if you're going to cut the crop. Is that a crime? Nothing yet. I'm not reading anything that you could say, hey, astaghfirullah, they woke each other up. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No, there's nothing to read there that's condemnable. But then you find, fantalaqu, and they marched forward. Still okay. Wahum yatakhafatun. And they were speaking to each other silently. Allah yadkhulannaha al-yawma alaykum miskeen. No poor person should better stumble upon you today. Ah. There's the crime. This is done. Everything's a crime. This is the crime. So if you're going to say, by the way, we says, لَوْلَا تُسَبِّحُونَ, لَوْلَا, even the guy who said, didn't I tell you, you should, why don't you do tasbih? Why, how come you couldn't come out and spell out what the wrong was? Didn't I tell you to take care of the poor too? Because sometimes people deflect from the actual wrong by using generalized language. And isn't لَوْلَا تُسَبِّحُونَ generalized? Isn't, we've always been wrongdoers. Isn't that generalized? And just like somebody who wants to admit that they do wrong, and let's say they slapped you across the face, and they have a hard time saying, hey, that time I slapped you across the face and you lost your molar. I feel horrible about that. I should not have done that. That was violent. That was disgusting. I regret my behavior, etc. No, they say, hey, if I've done anything wrong to hurt you. I love that if. That's my favorite if. Or they'll say, you know, whatever happened, I'm really sorry. Whatever happened? Bro, you slapped me across the face. Yeah, I said that. No, you didn't. You said whatever happened. Because you're trying to couch the ugliness of your behavior with you know, generalizing. And so you aggregate, we've always been wrongdoers. Instead of saying we wanted poor people to starve and we didn't care, that sounds too ugly. But we've always been wrongdoers sounds much more humble, sounds much safer, right? So this is a safe apology. This is like a PR apology, right? And where you're still not even fully coming to terms with the ugliness of your own deeds. And fine, Allah doesn't want us to broadcast our deeds to the world. But at least be open with Allah. Like, at least be raw with Allah about what you did instead of being walled up, right? And couching your language, being careful in your language. This is a level of vulnerability we need with Allah. We're going to be laid bare before Allah on Judgment Day. And every one of our misdeeds is going to come out one way or another. لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. You're better off, I'm better off having a conversation about it with Allah about the ugliest of my deeds, explicitly with Allah, in conversation with Allah, and asking forgiveness for it. What that will do is two things. One, I have a more direct connection with Allah. There's no filters. And two, it's actually very therapeutic if I can be honest with myself about myself. Right? Because we live in a life where we're always having to put on a mask. Right? And but with Allah, you just take the mask off and you describe yourself as you are. Like the statement, the famous saying of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Allahumma a'atini bima yaqulun wa la tu'akhidhni bima la ya'lamun. People used to, you know, praise him all the time. People used to give him compliments all the time. And he says, Ya Allah, give me according to what they say, but don't seize me in accordance with what they don't know, right? Because they're seeing a good side of me and they're saying great things, but there's a dark side. My mistakes, you know my Rabb. So just, you know, go easy on me on those mistakes. So that's the kind of relationship we should have with Allah. May Allah grant all of us that. Okay, so of course, they turn to Allah, we've always been wrong. But then, فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ يَتَلَاوَمُونَ. Then they began blaming each other. أَقْبَلَ means to turn towards someone and then blame them. And then turn towards somebody else and blame them. And so now, after إِنَّا كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ, we were the wrongdoers. Well, not we, you though. And then you though. You're the, and so the one started and he said, you guys should have listened to me. I was telling you to be mindful of Allah. And somebody blames him back. Oh yeah? Why'd you come? And when you came, it felt like, because you're the religious guy among us. So if the Islamic guy did it, we felt like it's not that un-Islamic. It's your fault. You set a bad example. And the other guys, the other guy next to him says, well, you know, I actually even agreed with you. I should have spoken up, but I didn't speak up because I was afraid of that guy. It wasn't me. I didn't do this for me. I did this for you guys. I was looking out for everybody else. And they're just, fingers are being pointed. And because now the frustration is we lost. If you can't relate to this, you might even, maybe it's easier for you to imagine a team that made it to the finals and then lost the match. Right? And then there's grief and they're in the locker room and you know, somebody missed a penalty kick. Right, in football, somebody missed a three-pointer or somebody missed both of their free throws with 12 seconds left in the game, right? And or the coach saw that one of the athletes is really tired, but he didn't pull him out of the game. And so different mistakes are made and they're all in the locker room together. What's happening? Why didn't you just pass me the ball? Why didn't you? Well, yeah, well, you did this. Or you did this and you did this and you did. And then they're blame going around, right? And the coach is meeting with the team owner and there's blame going around. Because when there's loss, then one of the ways to deal with that loss, instead of taking personal responsibility, is deflect on somebody else, right? In life, what's going to happen is with you and me, there are going to be moments where there are going to be incidents in our life where we did something wrong. But we're not the only ones who did something wrong. Somebody else did something wrong too, right? So it's not a clear-cut picture. So what that happens is you could say, yeah, I messed up, but so did you, you know. I made a mistake, but so did you. And this was the part I did wrong, but you did this wrong. And that language, what does it do? You turn it into a, well, let's figure out who's more wrong.
So who won the wrong match? Right? So we turned this into a contest. The healthy approach is to just admit you're wrong for yourself, for your own self, and let somebody else figure out whether they want to come to terms with themselves or not. Because if you dampen the impact of your own wrong by immediately mentioning somebody else's wrong, then you haven't really come to terms with your own wrong. Right? Just focus on yours, clean up your side of the street, and let somebody figure out their side of the street or not. That's up to them. Okay? Otherwise, it doesn't work out well. Anyway, so فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. They started turning to each other, started blaming each other. يَتَلَاوَمُونَ. لَوْم is a, blaming is a really interesting word in Arabic. You know when اللَوْمُ الشُّهْدَ الْعَسَلْ مَا دَمَ لَمْ يُعْصَ مِنْ شَمْعِهِ. It comes from crystallized honey. So you know when honey is being formed in the comb, then sometimes it gets solidified. And a part of it gets solidified. So there's softer honey on the inside, and it's not dripping out because it's being contained because the bottom of the jar or the bottom of the thing got solidified, right? And you have to scrape that off. So you might have something, the things in cans and things like that. Sometimes the top surface gets hardened and the softer stuff is stuck inside. You have to break through that, right? From it, that's actually called a luma in Arabic, luma. And loam is the word for blame. And the idea behind that is when you blame someone, you're trying to keep someone in their place. You're confining them. It's a kind of confining someone. It's also used to say, if I blame you or criticize you, you won't repeat that behavior. You'll remain more confined. So it's actually, blaming is associated in the Arabic language with confinement, with restricting someone. That's why tahayyuz al-shay' aw tahayyuz al-ma'ashtidad, to keep something contained with intensity. Okay. Now, this is Imam Razi imagining, because Allah didn't say, how did they blame each other, right? How did they blame each other? So Imam Razi is using his imagination. So tomorrow I was going to dinner with you guys, right? Here's your assignment. This is going to force you to make friends. Some of you are like loners and weirdos. This is going to force you to make friends. Okay, let me finish this. I'll tell you what the assignment is. أنت أشرت علينا بهذا الرأي. One of them blames the others. You're the one who told us to do this. The other one. أنت خوفتنا بالفقر. Well, you're the one who was telling us if we don't do this, we're going to go bankrupt because our profits were low last year. أنت الذي رغبتني في جمع المال. You're the one who keeps encouraging me to have bigger savings because I'm not financially responsible enough. فإن منهم من أشار بذلك. And among them is someone who pointed this way or that way. ومنهم من استوصبه منهم. And someone who said, you know, I agreed with him, we shouldn't have done it. But I stayed quiet. وَمَنْ سَكَتَ رَاضِيًا. And there was someone who was quiet. Why were you quiet this whole time? Why didn't you just say something? That's one of the blames too. وَمِنْهُ مَنْ أَنْكَرَهُ. And one of them says, you know, I didn't agree to any of this. I don't even know why I was a part of this. مَنْ أَنْكَرَهُ. This is Imam Razi. I want you to come up with the argument, the locker room argument they have with each other. And I want you to play it out for me. Just 30 seconds. You don't have to do it on the mic. No cameras, no nothing. You can just, in the tomorrow, you just perform, two people, three people, whoever wants to fight. Right? I just want to see what you guys come up with. No. You can prepare. You can rehearse. You can memorize your lines. You have a day. Okay. But I want to see what you come up with. So, yeah. Probably the worst actors are the most normal people in the room. So, but we'll figure it out, inshallah. Okay. Yeah, but that's your assignment. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا طَاغِينَ. They said, oh, the worst possible thing has happened to us. Wail in Arabic means destruction. Wail in Arabic also means a curse. We've been cursed. Wail in Arabic also means the worst part of hell. It's as if we're in the worst part of hell already. Ya wailana. Are they though? So they lost their money. They lost their garden. Are they in hell? No, they're not. But Allah is describing there are some people in this world who live in such wealth that being deprived of that wealth is the same as hell for them. Like, I would die if I had to fly economy class. Ya waylana, middle seat, B? Right? That's the idea. But Yahweh, they say, oh, what terrible destruction has fallen upon us. The worst possible thing has happened to us. Inna kunna taghin. Now another echo of inna kunna zalimin. We have always been rebellious. We've been wrong all along. We've only sinned and sinned and sinned. So before they said zalimin, now they're saying taghin. Taghin means we crossed the line. We went too far. We shouldn't have gone that far. We did. This was too much of a bad thing. So tughyan is actually used for when you cross a boundary. Like tughyanul ma is when water gets over the ridge, like a flood. That's tughyanul ma, right? And taghaddam, when the bleeding doesn't stop for a person and an injury, that's taghaddam in Arabic. طغوتوا وطغيتوا وتغوانا وتغيانا حمله على طغيان ذلك تجاوز الحد في العصيان. So from it comes the idea when someone crosses the line in disobedience. In other words, they're saying, we recognize that we did something that is, okay, we're wrong, but this time we did something extra wrong. So the ظالمين was general wrong, but this time طغين is more than usual. Like this was so bad that Allah decided to put a stop to us and destroy this garden. The irony of it is they were trying to make some people mahroom to not give them a little. They didn't get any. They didn't get any of it, right? So Allah just completely deprived them of any of what they were hoping to get. وقد تلقى كل واحد منهم لوم غيره عليه بإحقاق نفسه بالملامة وإشراك بقيهم فيه فقال كل واحد منهم يا ويلنا إنا كنا طاغين. So in the end, they basically said, yeah, oh my God, we were all just so messed up. And this to me is also another diffusion of responsibility. Each one of them should have been saying, I was wrong for themselves. But they're like, okay. Even somebody who really truly realized they were wrong, they diffuse it. One, but you can diffuse your sin by using general language. Another, you can diffuse your sin by speaking for everybody. Yeah, we all messed up. Let me help you understand that with an example. You'll understand it better with an example. Imagine three students or two or one student in the class cheated on the exam, right? And the teacher is about to punish all of them, right? And the guy who cheated on the exam says, yeah, professor, we're a messed up class, I know, but we are a messed up class? Dude, you did this. Right, but how is he diffusing responsibility from himself? What's he saying? We, and everybody in the class looks at him like, we, you know? So this is what inna kunna taghin could also represent. And immediately we learned the agenda. I was telling you, it sounds that like these admissions of guilt aren't genuine. Well, why? What's the ultimate evidence they're not genuine? If they are truly, repenting of what they did, what promise should they make Allah? Yeah, or next year, if Allah gives us rizq again, we will never deprive the poor. Something like that, isn't it? Should be saying something along those lines. Let's see what they're going to say. Asa Rabbuna, hopefully, soon, very soon, our master, an yubdilana khayran minha, will give us something better than this garden. Acha? Wait. You just lost your garden. You recognize you were really messed up, and the thing that was messed up was you were depriving others, and now your confession, your hope with Allah, my hope with Allah would be, I hope Allah forgives us. I hope Allah gives us a chance to serve those that we were trying to deprive. I hope Allah accepts our apology. I hope Allah accepts our repentance. We hope Allah will give us a better garden than this one. And yubdilana khayran minha. Inna ila rabbina rahimun. We are turning to God with focus. We are turning to God fully. We're focused on Allah now. We're inclined towards Allah. There's not a mention of the yatim, not a mention of the miskeen, not a mention of the poor, not a mention of their own sin. Just a mention of, I hope Allah gives me more next time. This is what makes me more inclined that the apology they made is not entirely genuine. Which makes it a really interesting contrast with the story in Surah Al-Kahf. Where the gardener, when he lost his garden, says, Ya laytani lam ushrik bi rabbi ahada. If only I had not done shirk with my Rabb. That sounds genuine. He realized it. these people doesn't seem like they realized it. It doesn't seem that way. So in the next ayah, the focus is going to be on Rahibun. I'll share that with you when we come back, inshallah.
Hey guys, you just watched a small clip of me explaining the Quran in depth as part of the Deeper Look series. Studying the Quran in depth can seem like a really intimidating thing that's only meant for scholars. Our job at Bayyinah is to make deeper study of the Quran accessible and easy for all of you. So take us up on that challenge. Join us for this study, the Deeper Look of the Quran, for this surah and many other surahs on BayyinahTV.com under the Deeper Look section.